श्रील गुरुदेव की जय। श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय। श्री सद्भुज शोरंग देव की जय। श्री हरि नाम प्रभु की जय। कांतराज श्रीमद भागवतन की जय। श्री ब्रह्म स्तुति की जय। गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंद हरि। गुड मॉर्निंग, प्रणाम टू ऑल ऑफ यू। वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टुडे विद आवर सीरीज ऑफ लेक्चर्स ऑन श्री ब्रह्म स्तुति और द प्रेयर्स ऑफ ब्रह्मा। टुडे वी आर स्टडिंग वर्स 23, in which Brahma will enumerate a very good number of attributes of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But as usual, let's begin with some brief recap from yesterday, verse 22, where we share basically the focus was the experience of Mahamaya, what happened when we take shelter, if you want to put it like that, in Maya Shakti. So Brahma is saying, therefore, this entire universe, which is insubstantial like a dream, which covers consciousness, which is full of abundant and endless mystery, and which arises out of your Maya potency, still appears as real because it is situated in you, who are limitless and possess a body that is eternal, full of bliss and consciousness. So Brahma is making here this contrast between the world being asat, achit, nirananda, temporary, inert, and devoid of inherent bliss, and Bhagavan being the very personification of Satchidananda, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. And whatever apparent presence of Satchidananda is in inner matter is due to the connection of Maya Shakti with Bhagavan, due to the fact that Bhagavan himself appears in this world to perform different lilas, as he described before. So he presents this particular point, but actually, you cannot find Satchidananda in matter, in Maya Shakti, if you do not approach Maya Shakti in connection with Shaktiman, with her source. That's just a source of mystery, as we mentioned here. So, over and over again, the word asat here means temporary, not necessarily false. We made that point. What's false is not Maya Shakti in itself, but what you perceive through the influence of Maya Shakti. That's a different important point. And also we, Bhrigupada yesterday contributed with this addition of Vikalpa regarding the rabbit's horn and how both rabbit and horns exist, but the way you are combining them do not match reality as we know of it. So there is a level of reality in the sense that both of them exist, but there's not a level of reality in how they are combined. So the same way, we exist, Maya Shakti exists, but when we try to combine with Maya Shakti as if we were the Shaktiman, you have some horns in your rabbit head or something. So that's mithya. That's false. That's not possible. That forced combination and positioning ourselves at the center. But so with proper sambandha, with proper knowledge of who is who and who is the source of everything else, everything stops being a source of misery. Although we spend some time analyzing the illusory experience of how sorry, can I ask some water, please? How can what sometimes we consider is happiness or pleasurable is just a mental construct, as in the morning we say that mavam manjate jagat. We project, we see the outer world according to our inner world, basically. But pleasure is not in the sense objects in themselves. And the sense of what is pleasurable and joyful changes, as we mentioned, from one species to the other, from different members of the same species, from one stage of life to the other, from one day to another, during the same day, from one period of the day to another. What is source of joy at one moment is a headache at another. Thank you so much. So we can see how it's in English, fleeting. Fleeting is experience of the sense of experience and happiness and joy in this plane when we are seeing it through the wrong lens. So the conclusion was that, of course, we are not against this world. We are not world deniers or something like the world is a creation of Satan. So better neglect that than just God, matter of God. But the world is a Shakti of Bhagavan. So when we approach Maya Shakti, when we approach the world without considering its source, of course, the world becomes a problem, becomes entangling for us. But when we approach the world considering its source, the world is enlightening to us. The world will speak to us about Bhagavan. So there is a place for us to be user-friendly with the world, if you will. So no need to leave the world even in one point. That's a Gaudiya perspective in one sense. And we are not anxious about getting rid of samsara or something like that. Narayana parasarvina kutashtana bibhyati swargapavarganarake swapitalyarta darsana. A real devotee do not care for hell, heaven, liberation, because they just care for bhakti. That's what Mahaprabhu says. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakra haitukitvai. You can send me again over and over again to the repeated cycle of birth and death. As long as I have the chance of engaging bhakti, I don't care going anywhere. Because I'm already where I have to go, in bhakti. Bhakti is my location. So if you are sheltered in proper haituki bhakti, there are so many examples of great personalities like Bali Maharaj or others being sent to, not precisely Golok, but they are fully aligned, fine-tuned with bhakti. So our tradition is, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say, cares about post-liberated status. Bhakti is a post-liberated status, goes beyond mukti, which is a general goal to attain for many people. So anyhow, that was a brief summary from yesterday. So today, Brahma will start like a new section, as we mentioned, of prayers and verses. And he will praise Krishna's attributes, unending attributes, by pointing to some of them. And the particular context in which this verse will come, Brahma in the last verse, a series of verses, he has been praising Krishna's form. And how that form is appearing in front of him, and how his darshan of that form. So the form of Krishna is visible to Brahma. So the following argument could be made. Brahma already acknowledged, I'm seeing your form, I'm perceiving your middle-sized, all-pervading form in this universe. And now Brahma will address the possible argument that if Krishna's body is visible, then maybe it's material. Because whatever is material is visible. So Krishna's form being visible, may be material. Sometimes we may develop this sense of logic. Okay, whatever is material we see here, it's visible. So whatever is spiritual must be invisible. And these types of anuman or inference. So he addresses this possible argument in this verse, Brahma. So let's go to the verse in itself. It's verse 23. I don't know, some of you may have the Sanskrit there. This will be in 2 meters, 2 chandas, interestingly. The first 2 lines will be Indra Bajra, and the second 2 lines will be Indra Vamsa. So it will be some kind of subtle irregularity you will perceive in the last 2 lines. So I'll recite the whole verse first. And as I usually forget, today I didn't. I'll share it in the here. 1 second. Okay, so it says, Ekastam atma purusha purana satya svayam jyotiranta adhya nityaksharo jasra sukho niranjana purnadvayo mukta upadita amrita.
Ekasvam atma purusha purana satya svayam jyotiranta adhya nityaksharo jasra sukho niranjana purnadvayo mukta upadito mrita.
Okay. Good reciters. We have it. Chorus professional here, so that's adding to the equation for sure. So where did I land? Okay, give me 1 second. So the verse says like this. You are the one supreme soul, the primeval supreme personality, the absolute truth. self-manifested, endless, and beginningless. You are eternal and infallible, perfect and complete, without any rival and free from all material designations. Your happiness can never be obstructed, nor have you any connection with material contamination. Indeed, you are the indestructible nectar of immortality. So this is today's verse. Basically, all of these words, we could say, are different names of Krishna, which or different qualities of Krishna, but Krishna is not different from his qualities. So therefore, they're names of Krishna. Now, previously, in this Brahma Stuti, Brahma addressed Krishna as Gunatmana, which basically says, your gunas are not different from your atma. Now, your very self is not different from your qualities. Krishna's nama, guna, rupa, lila, names, forms, qualities, lilas, are not different from him, him being absolute. So this verse is presenting a list of Krishna's qualities, but therefore can mean a list of Krishna's names, and Krishna is not different from them. So let's go to the word by word before going to the commentary. So first word is ekaha. Ekaha means one. Tvam means you. So you are the one. Always looking for the one. He is the one. Ekam tvam atma. Supreme soul in this case, or soul of souls. Purusha Purana. Purusha means person, and in this case, supreme person. Purana means ancient, in this particular case. Satya, second line, Satya Swayam Jyotir Ananta Adya. So Satya means real. Swayam Jyotir means you are self-manifested. Ananta Adya. So Ananta means, let's guess a little bit, Ananta. No, no, do that, you're reading. So boring, this game. So Ananta means, what, without saying?
Endless.
Endless, he already saw before. Adya means without beginning. So without end, you are without end, you are without beginning, just in case, in both sides of the equation. Third line, Nitya Aksharo Jasra Sukho Niranjana. So Nitya, what does it mean Nitya Haricharan?
Eternal.
Very good, without seeing anything, without reading anything. Or you have some sign here below that I'm not saying. Okay, Nitya. Eternal. Akshara. Akshara, what does it mean? Saragrahi.
I can see it.
Okay, what does it say there?
Indestructible.
Okay, indestructible, that's a good word. Imperishable and so on. What is? Ajashra Sukkaha. Ajashra Sukkaha. Brigupad.
That your joy is undecaying or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Your happiness, your joy cannot be obstructed, basically. Yeah. Ajasra Sukha. Then we have Niranjana. What's the meaning of Niranjana, Sakirati?
Avoid of contamination.
Okay. Very good. I have been studying with Brigupa. Then we have a difficult one. Purna. Purna. Full, complete, exactly. Advaya. Mohan?
I'm also reading from here.
I appreciate your sincerity.
Without a second.
Okay, without a second, or it can be also non-dual. But also sometimes we hear this expression, the one without a second. So it can mean both. Then we have Mukta Upadita. So Mukta Upadita, Upadi means like designation or false designation, or sometimes translated as limiting adjuncts. And upadita means from those, and mukta means free from. So free from all false designation. And the last word, Nora, amrita.
Nectar?
Nectar or also, what's mrityu? Martyaloka, martya? Death, death, yeah, you know. So, mrityu is death, and amrityu means immortal, and also nectar, or nectar of immortality, if we want to combine the two. So, that's it. Let's go to the different commentaries. Today we have a really long one by our Guru Maharaj, for those who were longing for that the last few days, and who were complaining, it's not fair, they are too short. So, now you have a long one. when he will go through the different words. So this is a brief, not so brief in this case, commentary to this verse by my Guru Maharaj, and will come in his forthcoming book called Bhaktivedanta Bhava Anubhava, the commentary. The book will be called Sakya Mandal, and says like this. While emphasizing that Krishna is Satya, or real, Brahma distinguishes between the individual Atma, that is also real, and Krishna as the Paramatma. So he will present his commentary in this line. All these qualities somehow are presented in the Atma in some level, we will see, but in Paramatma, in the super soul, there will be a difference. Who, by contrast, Paramatma, is the original person, Purusha Purana. So both Krishna and the Jiva exist. Okay, but that's not the all in all. It's not that we are similar to the Absolute in every single sense or identical. So Paramatma is the original person, Purusha Purana, and thus the Atma's source. For it is he who becomes many. And sometimes the Shastra will present the idea. He is self-effulgent, like the Atma. But, unlike the Atma, he is also infinite and primordial. Swayam Yotir Ananta Atya. Like the Atma, he is eternal and imperishable. But, unlike the Atma, his bliss is unimpeded and he is free from the influence of material contamination. Kshara Jara Sukha Niranjana. Krishna is also complete in himself, non-dual, free from ignorance and mortality. But here Brahma, in a broader sense, also says that while the materially conditioned jiva can be seen by his limiting form that has none of these attributes, Krishna's form is different, in that he has such attributes and one can only see his form if he allows one to see it. His form is all-pervasive even when it appears by his grace before one, as if delimited within space. In this sense, he is completely different from the materially bound jiva. This is a commentary of my Guru Maharaj on this connection, trying to show how of these qualities belong to the jiva as well, but some of them do not. And even those who belong to both, they express in the figure of Krishna in a very unique form that cannot be compared to anyone else. So, remember, the last verse, Brahma was speaking about Maya Shakti. So somehow he was speaking about how unreal is the experience of being under the influence of Maya Shakti. So now, to create some contrast, he's emphasizing how real Krishna is. No, he just spoken about how unreal is the perception of this world without Krishna. And now Brahma is coming back and re-emphasizing how real Satyam Krishna is, who is the source of Maya Shakti. And not only how real he is in relation to Maya being her source, but even in connection to the Jiva Shakti, as we see. This is somehow a verse which I find that the words and the attributes mentioned similar to Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Natiradhir Govinda, Sarvakara Nakara, many similar points to the first verse of Brahma Samhita. So today we have a very interesting and long series of commentaries. So fasten your seatbelt and sit straight and pray so Nidra Devi do not capture you fully. Just in case I have the mridanga close to me and I put it in a good position to just start some kirtan, as it was done with Pariksit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, but he will fall into a trance and someone may do kirtan, so he returns and the narration. So I see there's potential for samadhi here. I don't know which type of it, but samadhi, so we have the kirtan element just in case we need the session to go on. So let's begin with Sridhar Swami, the ancient commentator of the Bhagavatam, his Bhavartha Deepika. So he presents some argument that Krishna may present to Brahma as usual between verses. So he says, if Krishna says to Brahma, but only you are real, Krishna may tell, remember, Krishna is playing the side of Mukdata, he's totally in Hibrajavasi mode, so Brahma is praising all this. Say, but only you are real, Krishna will say to Brahma. You are Brahma. Who I am? So Brahma will reply here, Krishna wants to say that ekastvam satya, you, eka, the one, eka, tvam, you, satya, you the one are real. Everything else comes from that real one, if you will. All the diversity and forms and myself, Brahma is saying, I'm coming from. And why this is so, the Sridhar Swami quotes the next word, atma. You are the soul, or in this case, you are the super soul. You are the soul of all souls. What can be seen isn't real. What can be seen is unreal, that is, whatever is seen, but the soul cannot be seen, and so it is real. Moreover, Sridhar Swami says, that which has transformations isn't real, but there is no such transformation, such as birth, in you. So whatever is unreal or a product of Maya Shakti is undergoing all these different transformations. You do not undergo any transformation whatsoever. You are not getting born, for example. You express avirbhav, or pradurbhav, which means you self-manifest, which is not the same. We sometimes say, okay, tomorrow is Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami, whatever. But technically speaking, it's not birth as we conceive of it. And that's why Siddhartha Swami says, Brahma says, adya. Adya means you don't have a beginning. You do not start to be, to happen, to appear. And why adya also purana, he connects. Purana may be ancient, but Sridhara Swami says purana means pura api nava. So he connects pura api nava, which means you're actually new, although old. You are old, but actually also we know Krishna is known as nava, as we say yesterday, nava jovana, eternally fresh and new. So purana means pura api nava. Interesting. New, though old. So those, you are the most ancient ones, but you are ever fresh. This type of paradoxes coexist in the figure of Krishna, very in pretty good harmony, basically. That's why he can do that. He can be Krishna. He can only be. Sridhara Swami says, the sense is he is existing. He existed even before the effect. So he is the cause of everything, sarva karana karanam. But he existed even before. If you want to put it, it's not that at one point something begins to exist, but if you want to consider him the cause of everything, still he exists. If you speak about, for example, the cycle of material creation, we could speak at one point there is nothing. No? Or Brahma is alone, or before even Brahma, but he's there. Purusha, the word, see that's why I say Purusha says, how at first only he existed. Again, it's not pointing to some idea like creatio ex nihilo, like something coming out of nothing, but just in the non-beginningless creation cycles, at the beginning of the whole thing, only he is there, basically. Everything else is contained within him, within his different shaktis. Nitya, Sridhara Swami said, with nitya, and all the commentators will analyze word by word, so the commentators will be, I will give a summary of that, so don't be afraid. There will be lunch at time, no problem. With nitya, Brahma rejects a transformation which is the existence of another birth. He had no previous birth and now he's in another birth, and you know, he's nitya, permanent, constant. With these four words, purna, ajashra, sukha, akshara, and amrita, he sequentially repudiates the ideas that the Lord grows, purna, he's complete, he doesn't grow, ajashra, sukha, he's happiness is unimpeded. He rejects the idea that he changes. He rejects with akshara, imperishable, the idea that he becomes weaker. And with amrita, he rejects the idea that Bhagavan's body perishes or dies. Jiva Goswami will make a similar comparison. And why he's purna, why he's complete, Sridhara Swami says, because he's ananta and advai. He's unlimited or endless and non-dual, or one without a second. That makes him purna, or complete. He is devoid of the delimitation of time and space. And the last part of Sridhara Swami says, and for to substantiate the idea that he's amrita or immortal, Brahma invokes three terms. So he kind of connects one term to other terms that further support one particular term. To support amrita, he's immortal, he mentions Swayam Jyoti, he's self-manifest, Niranjana, he's free from all contamination. anupadita mokta. He's free from all upadis. And also by this he repudiates the different kinds of karmic reaction. There are no karmic reactions assigned to Krishna's form or body. Jiva Goswami again in his Sandarbhas does a similar exercise. So that's Sridhar Swami's commentary, trying to go through each one of the words. Sanatana Goswami will be doing something similar, but from another perspective. And I will just be sharing those things that are complementary. So try to bear in mind, I know that there are many, maybe new words for all of you, but let's try to keep having them in mind and relearning their meanings. So Sanatana Goswami says, while expounding that Bhagavan is real, as mentioned previously, he talks about Bhagavan's tattva in terms of a differentiation from jiva tattva, what our Guru Maharaj mentioned in his commentary. He's presenting the idea, God is real, God exists, and he presents that in context to the jiva tattva, to us, who also exist, but it's not the same type of existence. That's why sometimes the jiva is defined as Satchidananda, but Bhagavan is defined in connection to Sandini Sambikladini. And the words of my Guru Maharaj will be Super Sat, Super Chit, Super Ananda. He doesn't only have existence, he has super existence. He super exists. On the contrast, sometimes we hear personalities like Srila Siddhar Maharaj defining Tatastha Shakti. He will say, we are bordering non-existence, Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say once. Like implying how infinitesimal is our constitution in comparison to the super existence of Bhagavan. Without proper shelter in him, we are bordering non-existence. Tatashtha means bordering line, something. Of course, we will never stop existing, but that's a way of putting our existence is not the same as Krishna's. Or in the words also of my Guru Maharaj, Krishna has Satchidananda on steroids. Steroids? Yeah, I remember first time. This is a joke, but what to do? I mean, I was a joke. I was myself was the joke. I think first time I was given a class on this topic to the devotees in California, in North Carolina, and I mentioned this idea that Guru Maharaj gave, Krishna has Satchidananda on steroids, and I said on asteroids. Which somehow fitted the idea in some other form. And everyone was laughing. I was like, why all fear? Why is that? I mean, it's a nice, fancy example that Guru Maharaj gave, but why is it so funny? Say, I think you meant asteroids, right? And you say asteroids. Oh, right. I see. Okay. And I started to laugh with them, of course. But somehow it fits. Different versions of it, but... Then, Sanatana Goswami connects some of the names with Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. The word Eka means you are one. Somehow he connects with Brahman. Then, you express in all jivas as Antaryami. He connects that with the word Atma Purushaha, another word of saying Paramatma. And then this idea of Purana. Although you are new, Purana, Api, Nava, you have been existent from the days of Yor. Yor, you say in English? That's connected to Bhagavan. So, Sanatana Goswami again addresses the same point that with which we introduced the verse. But he has a form. So if he has a form, how can he be real? So he's, without saying that directly, somehow this is addressing Shankaracharya's presentation. Brahma Satya Jagan Miti. Only Brahman is real, and Brahma has no form. So everything else is false, and everything else has a form. But only Brahman is real. So if Krishna has a form, it cannot be real. Which, of course, that's what they say, ultimately. Krishna's form is something that will be retired at some point, as we read today in the morning. Even some gyanis may be seen like Madhusudan Saraswati, you read them and you feel, wow, he has more devotional fervor than myself. No? He's such a passionate bhakta, but actually that's all expressed in the context of his pursuit of Nirvishesh Brahma. So at the end, he will retire that conception as well. So the idea many times is that the type of inference. Okay, everything we see here has form, everything is perishable, temporary, illusory. And we may conclude, so therefore, whatever is eternal, permanent, transcendent, must be exactly diametrically different to what I'm finding here. So there cannot be form there. There cannot be relationships there. There cannot be this there. Which, of course, that's not the case, as we know. That's the case on the level of Brahman. But if you go beyond that, you find a Prakriti, this notion of form, lilas, and something that really seems close to mundane experience, but actually is way beyond Brahman and Vaikuntha. So, if the question will be presented, okay, he has form, so maybe he's not real. And Sanatana Goswami replies, he says, Brahma replies to that possible question with the term Swayam Jyoti, which means self-manifest, and in this context means he is seen by his self-manifesting agency, which is another way of saying you cannot see him if he doesn't want. As we read the other day, he has the key on his side of the door. So if he doesn't want to show himself to you, you can knock the door. That's your part. When he will open, how he will open, that's his prerogative. We cannot just create some experiment to force a particular moment in which he will do that. He's, as we said the other day, one of the features of God is unpredictability, especially Krishna. Yes, very good point.
Swayam Jyoti, how can it mean self-manifested?
In which sense?
Jyoti means like light.
Light, yeah.
So self-luminous.
Yeah.
But they are translating it as self-manifest.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, some translation. Okay. Yeah, I will say that self-luminous means like self-manifest in the sense that we can only see him by his own light, basically, mm. in that particular sense. Yeah. No, unless he shows himself with his own light, no matter how many lights we can put together, it won't be seen. So I will conclude that that's the practical, the indication they want to point to. Then Sanatana Goswami said Nitya, the word Nitya, which is eternal or constant, in this case, he said, means Sadaika Rupa, which means always in one form. Sadaika Rupa. Always in, Sada means always, Ika means one, Rupa means form. Due to the total absence of transformations. So he remains always in one form. Although it seems he's appearing in so many forms, his form is permanent and eternal. Then he explained the word Advaya, which means non-dual. And Sanatana Goswami interestingly says, he is devoid of relationship with anything different from himself. That's basically to be non-dual. He cannot relate with anything else apart from himself. Because if there will be something else, there will be duality. There is something apart from himself. And in this case, there is not. So whatever he interacts with, it's all himself in the sense of from the Aveda side of the equation. Aveda Veda, Chintya Aveda. Aveda means non-difference. Everything is Krishna. I mean, we agree with that. But for us, that's half of the equation. That's not the full equation. No, what Sankara says, we say, yes, 50%. So that's a good non-dual foundation. Yeah, Advaya Gyan, Advaita, but there is something else to add there. So he's not connected with anything separate from himself. Himself and his Shaktis, which are inseparable from himself. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shriyate. In other words, his form cannot be limited by any other object, because any other object, everything else is his potencies, and those potencies cannot exist without him. Okay. So I'll repeat that line. Just in case. Some parallel events are happening here. Just for those connected online, we have a very dynamic, dramatic stage here. So that's very exciting. So basically he's saying his form cannot be limited in any way by any object, because again, everything is his potency, and everything that exists cannot exist without him. So he is the source of everything. So he cannot be limited by anything, because anything and everything is a Shakti of him that exists dependent on him. Then he goes to Upadita Mukta, which means, in other words of saying Upadita Mukta, which is the famous, not only famous, but typical way we speak about someone who is devoid of upadis. We speak about Vaishnav. He or she is a Vaishnav. Vaishnavi. The word upadi is there, but that's not the old word. There are three more letters. I cannot do it easier than that. Sorry. Starts with N. Nirupadi. You may have heard that expression. Nirupadi. Sarvupadi vinirmuktam. This time, Mahaprabhu himself. Nambiprabhu nachanarapati. I mean, he's not using the word nirupadi there, but he's basically saying that. Nirupadi means devoid of this designations. So he has no material adjuncts. Bhagavan has no this type of illusory temporary labelings. And Sanatana Goswami translates Krishna being Nirupadi, free from material designations, and he says, without a motive, he continuously benefits all living entities. Interestingly. So he connects his being Nirupadi with he's free from all designations. He's free from all motivation in separate motives, and he continuously benefits everyone. So he points to the principle of causeless mercy in connection to him being Nirupadi. So that's an interesting meditation. How how much we, in our tiny example case, but that applies to us as well. No? We would like to develop this idea of being merciful, being compassionate. I mean, that's... We will say sometimes the first defining quality of a Vaishnava when we hear this list of qualities, Pripalu comes, merciful. But in order to be merciful, I need to be Nirupadi. We could say the more Nirupadi I am, the more free from labelings, I will be actually able to be merciful. Because if not, my so-called grace will be, tinged, like affected, filtered by my upadis. So we can do charity in the context of an upadi, and that can be fostering my upadi. So there's a very, if you will, intrinsic connection between these two ideas. Getting free from material designations and being able to express causeless grace. That's an interesting meditation, how one takes to the other. And then he goes to Amrita, the last quality mentioned in the verse, Amrita. So he said, of course, it can mean he who is immortal, but also he because of whom the devotees have no death. He who gives deathlessness to his bhaktas. Or in other words, he said, he because of whom the devotees do not have death or do not have material life, which is characterized by death. No. If we want to define what's material life, you can say so many things. And in one case, their material life will be different from their material life, but we will all agree in the converging point. No, the last act of the drama, death. That's material life, how it closes for all of us similarly. But he's saying, devotees have no material life. We spoke about that in Bulgaria as well. Similar statement made in another verse. Because of Krishna, devotees have no death. There is some other section in one verse that was saying, he because of whom devotees have no birth. It's basically the same thing. Material life is characterized by birth, or material life is characterized by death. By the two of them. So sometimes when it is described Krishna has no birth, the meaning of that can mean, or Aja or something, he is the one because of whom he is about to have no birth, no more birth. And in this case, Amrita, he because of whom he is about to have no death, or have no material life, no? In other words. That's even more comprehensive, because right now this can apply. You can be now, here, and not having a material life, which is a very important point that it's necessary to postpone many, many times. A devotee, technically speaking, if one is, as much as you are living, as much as you believe this devotee lifestyle, you live it and you believe it, you won't have material life. That's, you cannot be practicing material life if you are a devotee, technically speaking. Again, what's the devotee? It's not the black and white issue. No, yesterday I was a karmi, today I'm a whatever, I'm on the other side of the fence. So it's a gradual process, but proportionately to that, we have no material life. A devotee shouldn't think in terms my spiritual life and my material life. That's not correct. If you would like to keep thinking like that, we cannot do nothing, but you are yourself invoking that dichotomy in your life. My material life and my spiritual life. My material life, material spirit. But if you really understand what spiritual life, you see how potent spiritual life is, especially bhakti, how user-friendly it is, and how much it can penetrate all the aspects of my material life. Especially bhakti has such a potency to become part of my every single second of my life. So we don't have, technically speaking, an excuse to still think in terms of material life. If you want to do so, okay, that's your problem, that's your headache. But bhakti is willing to enter in that section of your life that you still consider material. And it has the power to do so. And that's our hope, basically. That's the only way we can finish that. So that's one of the meanings of Amrita. And of course, Amrita, as we mentioned, is not only deathlessness, but also nectar or sweetness. Because Amrita is, yeah, immortality, but the immortality that Gaudiya Vaishnavism presents is not just mere ending death, but it's a sweet immortality. In the words of Srila Siddhar Maharaj, he speaks about positive and progressive immortality. There is something happening on the other side of mortality. There is something going on the other side of the fence. There is lila taking place. It's not just static immortality. It's ecstatic immortality. This movement in immortality. That's lila, movement in immortality. So that's what we are after. So Sanatana Goswami concludes his commentary saying, though having a form, the Lord is not like the jiva, who is controlled by others, limited, taking various forms by being born in a womb, being unfixed in form, having limited happiness, being impure, being related with things different from himself, being subject to coverings, upadis, and undergoing material transformations. All this is refuted here. So all those things belong to a jiva, a bada jiva in particular. Krishna has nothing to do with all of them. So in this verse, somehow Brahma is refuting all these upadis or conditions that accompany bada jiva are present in Bhagavan. No. Let's turn to Jiva Goswami. His Lagu Vaishnav Toshani. It's a very long commentary, I must tell you. Extremely long. But mostly very long because for each one of these words in the verse, he gives so many scriptural quotations. Krishna said, Dwai, like what it says in the Upanishads, and he gives like 5 verses. Krishna is Purna, 5 verses. Krishna is Niranjana, 17 verses, whatever. So as you can imagine, I'm not that cruel and I will, that compassionate, I'm not that compassionate to be sharing all of them with you now. I have some upadis, so I cannot be that merciful to you yet. So I have summarized, and I will only quote one of those verses that he quotes in his old purport. You can go to his purport and be merciful to yourself and go through them, which are many, many, many. But before going to the verses, he's saying, paraphrasing Brahma, you, the one who has a morsel in hand, remember, that's Krishna in front of Brahma now, still a morsel of food in hand and looking for his calves and friends. So Brahma is addressing that particular figure. You, the one who has a morsel in hand, are the soul, that is, the root swarup of everything belonging to the material world and of everything not belonging to the material world. So he creates this contrast. You, this boy with a morsel of food in the hand, are the root cause of everything material and non-material. Although you seem not... I mean, if you think, who is the root cause of everything? A boy with a morsel of food in his left hand. It's like, okay. Brahma did not believe that 5 minutes ago. No, after Brahma Vimohan Lila, he's having a glimpse how that can happen. So then, to prove that, comes all the verses that Jiva Goswami gives as to give further support to the words chosen by Brahma here. So regarding Satya, let's go to that verse, a famous one. You can call it the Satya verse in the Bhagavatam, which is, you have these verses like I don't know, if you want to speak about Purna, there is one Purna verse, which is overflowing with the word Purna, or Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnas, Pudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva. 9 times Purna in one verse. So that's a Purna shloka, if you want to baptize it somehow. So here we have the Satya shloka from the Bhagavatam, this second chapter of 10th canto, the prayers of the Devas when Krishna is in the womb. No? So Satya, whatever it is, Satya, Bratam, Satya, Param, Trisatyam, Satyasya, Jonir, Nihitam, Chasatya, Satyasya, Satyam, Rita, Satya, Netram, Satyatmakam, Tvam, Saranam, Prapanam. So again, Satya, 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 Satya. Satya means you are real, you exist. So Jiva Goswami said, to support this, and he quotes this verse, which basically says, you are true to your word, you are true, personify everything about true is about you is true in the three phases of time. You are the womb from which true is coming. You are the ultimate limit of reality, or truth. All objects are true only in connection to you, what we say yesterday, because they take support in you who are true, personify real, reality personify. So we have first to understand this, no? How Krishna is Satya, Satya, Satya. Before we further enter into Leela and discover that Krishna is such a liar in Vrindavan, first you have to have the foundation, he's Satya, 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 Satya. Because if not, we won't fully accommodate. He's a liar, thief, womanizer. No. He's Satya, 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 Satya. Then that thing has to be seen in that context. In the context of that, so that will provide for a charming appreciation of the Leela dynamics, because if not, he's such a consummated liar, and he knows how to lie so nicely, and there's so much lie even in service in the Leela. You know, that day I was reading one verse from the Kalika Valerie, which basically describes the expertise in lying in the Manjaris. You know, when Krishna somehow was going to meet with Sri Radha, but he was intercepted on the way. Intercepted, you say? Mm-hmm. By Padma Shaibya, all these gopis from Chandravali's camp. And somehow they take Krishna and they take him to Chandravali. And Sri Radha is waiting for Krishna and dying while waiting. And waiting and waiting at the accorded place, meeting place, trysting place. And she's dying in separation. So at that point, Rupa Manjari, desperate to see her Swamini withering in that way, say, I mean, what must have happened? I have to find a solution to this. So she starts running everywhere, here and there, but she cannot find Krishna anywhere. And at the last resort, let's try in Chandravali's Kunja. So she goes there, and she says, so Krishna is there, such a rascal. Well, Rupa Manjari starts to think, as you know, Manjari terms, especially in this moment. She's not thinking Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kijai. He's thinking, such a rascal, my Swami is dying in separation. He's here enjoying with Chandravali. So I must take him immediately so Sri Radha survives. So what to do? So she enters into the kunja and starts to present like a whole scenario which is not real. It's not satyam. But it's in the context of this foundation. And she says, No, Krishna, you don't know what happened. Just a big monster just has attacked Vrindavan and we need you to kill him. You have done that so many times, so there is no time for further explanation. You come right now. So Krishna's like, say to Chandravali, duty calls. No? Sorry, with your permission. And I, for what she said, this demon is so big that I may not be able to return today. I may need the whole day to defeat him. Because he understood this demon is the demon of separation that is killing Radha, no? Who is the soul of Vrindavan. So all Vrindavan is about to die, but this great demon. So Krishna immediately understood. And he was taken immediately. And Chandravali in her naivete, okay, please go and save Vrindavan. So technically speaking, that was lie. That was not truth. But it was in the service of the reunion of Radha and Krishna in Leela. So that's in the service of the highest ultimate truth. So we have to understand the place of Satya and how even that Satya, truthfulness, can play out in its apparent opposite to further nourish the ultimate truth. Okay, we have a few commentaries before finishing. Let's go with Bhagavad Sandarbha also. Jiva Goswami, apart from Lagu Vaishnava Toshini, he says something in Anucheda 58. He will connect, not all of these words, but some of these words, with the six transformations that the material body goes through, and how some of these words in this verse show how Krishna is not going through them. So which are those six transformations? Let's see. Before growth, there is one more. They call it like subsistence. Sometimes they change it too, but like anyhow, okay, birth, growth, subsistence, I say that one, or maintenance, if you will. Fourth?
Reproduction.
Uh-huh. Byproducts, if you will, mutation, in the well of expansions. What else? Two more.
Dwindling.
Dwindling or decay. And the last one?
Yeah,
it's
that.
One? Okay, we all agree on that. Our agreeing final point, basically, in life. So he will refer to these six stages and invoke some of these words used in this verse to show Krishna is not going through that. So Krishna's first birth. Krishna is not having birth because he is, what's the word in this verse that may contradict Krishna's having birth? Or not contradict, but just prove he's not having. Adya, which means he who exists in the very beginning, who is the beginning of everything else, who was there from the beginning, or who has no beginning, if you want to put it like that. Then Krishna's body does not undergo any sustenance or maintenance, because he is nitya. So nitya means permanent, eternal, always in the same situation, if you will. And also, Jiva Goswami says he's the support of everything. So basically, he does not need sustenance. He's sustaining. He's the sustainer of everything. Third, Krishna's body does not undergo growth. So growth, in this sense, Jiva Goswami takes us increasing in size. And that's not happening. Why? Because he's Purna. So Purna means he's complete. He's full. So only something incomplete can increase, basically, he says. Fourth, Krishna does not produce byproducts. Why? This is an interesting one, you can imagine.
Is it because all his expansions are already there?
No. It was because of the quality that Bhrigupada defined in the beginning. Which one was asked? The one I asked him.
Tukha.
So he's eternally blissful without any obstruction. So Jiva Goswami says, so what does this have to do with having byproducts? No? So he connects with, well, generally, people in this world feel incomplete by themselves. They are not complete in themselves. So they look for someone else to make them feel complete. Did they say in English also this half orange? You don't say that.
Half of the apple.
You are my half orange. You don't say that in English. Okay, we say that in Spanish. You are my half orange. You are one half, and the other one is the half.
Yeah.
So he will say, and therefore people look for partners, and they feel sometimes, okay, now we are full. But after some time, they feel, I'm still not full. So let's further expand the partnership, if you will. So you will have some great products in the form of children. And therefore, Krishna is devoid of that type of by-producing, if you will, because he is complete. Of course, he's not criticizing having by-product, but just he's showing how he's beyond those particular functions. The fifth is decay. So Krishna's body is beyond decay. He, and the name or the word connected to that in this verse is that one I asked. I don't remember who I asked. I think I asked Saragrahi, which was the word I asked you in the beginning.
It was, I think, I don't remember.
I think it was Akshara.
Indestructible, yes.
Yeah? Okay. So Krishna is Akshara, indestructible. And so he doesn't go through decay. And the last word you can imagine, which is he doesn't die, his body doesn't, he doesn't leave his body, if you will. He is his body, as Guruji will say. We sometimes hear, we are not this body, but Krishna is his body. And that's connected with the word Amrita, immortal, basically. Even Shastra says, death fears him. So many verses that say, everyone fears death, but death personified is afraid of Krishna. So he's Amrita in every sense of the term. And then Jiva Goswami concludes saying some of the other remaining qualities, Advaita, Niranjana, and so on, further establish all these points. If you start to analyze all these other words, also can explain many of these. He's non-dual, he's devoid of upadis and contamination, and so on. So let's conclude with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is the longest of all the purports.
It's fun.
But I will... Sorry?
It's fun.
Okay, she was in anticipating the whole thing. Yeah, it's fun. So I will just read the whole thing and it will, fun. It will be fun. So you will be happy that it's so long. That will mean extended fun. So basically what Vishwanath will do, as he usually does in many purports, is he recreates this in between dialogues between Krishna, in this case Krishna and Brahma, and in other sections between the main characters of the section, and a long interaction of, I mean, the whole verse is made into a dialogue, basically. All the words of the verse are presented in the context of interrogation? Like Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Sagosti, let's say. Prasnotaras, they say sometimes. And somehow Krishna will examine Brahma, how well he understood all the things that also, the points that Brahma himself made in previous verses. Okay, let's just in case re-ask him about if he has everything in place. And many other commentators also presented a similar fashion dynamics of Q&A here. But we will go with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So I'll read it in a row. I won't stop to explain because many of the points have been already explained. And also not to stop the charm of the flow that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur presents. And remember, Brahma is speaking with sense of Aishwarya, speaking to Krishna. Again, he's attracted towards Sakya Bhavin Braj, where there's no sense of Krishna's Aishwarya, but still he's a sadhaka, work in progress. So he's transitioning from being a sadhaka to becoming a siddha. So still Aishwarya needs to be properly established in his conception, so he can, on top of that, construct the Brajabhakti Mandir in his heart. But the foundation of the temple of Brajabhakti is Aishwarya, as we know, knowledge of Krishna's godhood, and then being charmed to one particular presentation of that, so we forget all about his divinity. So, ready? Okay. Brahma prayed. I will cut some details because Sanagrahi is following there, so two paragraphs will be cut, but 95% is there, so please, fun will be there. Don't. Brahma prayed. Although you do have infinite forms, you are also present in one transcendental form by your inconceivable energy. You are the one supreme soul, and at the same, you expand yourself as the super soul to enter every living being. So pretty Aishwaric. And remember, Krishna is in Brajabhav, and you have a four-headed guy telling you all this Aishwaric stuff. So here Krishna may protest. But the super soul has no form. He's not a person. After all, the word person generally refers to a being that has a form. You say, I am a person. Am I a young person? Brahma replies, no, you are the oldest. Again, Krishna protests. I am the son of Nanda Baba, and I am a young boy of Raj. It is not right to say that I am the oldest. Why are you insulting me in that way? Such a nice young fellow. Brahma, it is true that you are the son of Nanda, but it is also true that you exist eternally in all three phases of time. Therefore, you are the oldest person. Purusha Purana. Krishna, the supreme person, Purusha, you describe is the creator of time, karma, and everything else. How is it possible that I am he? Again, I'm looking for my friends and cops only. Brahma, please do not argue. Argue. Please do not argue. You are self-effulgent. Swayam Jyoti. Do not try to hide, basically. You are showing yourself to me in a very unique way. Krishna, am I like the sun? Because you call me self-effulgent. So am I like the sun, limited within a certain area of a space? Because the sun is self-effulgent, but it's nonetheless limited. So with all this, Krishna is stirring the Tao, no? Churning Krishna, Brahma's heart. Brahma, no. You are Ananta, limitless. Not restricted by time and space. Your other avatars are also the same. He made those points before, remember. So he's being tested again, if he understood all properly. Krishna, the Supreme has many incarnations. So am I just one of them? Brahma, you are the Adya, or the source of all avatars, the root of all incarnations. Krishna, in the next lifetime of Brahma, will I again incarnate in this form? Imagine, it's like a boy asking his father, in my next lifetime will be like... And Brahma, no. You are Nitya, eternal. Although the universe is ancient, real and eternal, at the end of my lifetime, pretty long one, it is no longer manifested in the same form because it will disappear. Therefore, it is anitya, temporary. On the other hand, you will remain eternally in this form as the son of Nanda. Therefore, your form is eternal and unchanging because you are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna. But those who have bodies are subject to the six transformations and are therefore disintegrating at every moment. How is it possible that I am like that? Brahma, no, you are not like that. You are unchanging and indestructible, Akshara. Krishna, those who have bodies are also subject to happiness and distress. Brahma, you are Ajastra Sukha, always full of bliss. Now comes Krishna. I am always full of bliss, Krishna says. But as a child, I was greedy to drink my mother's breast milk and steal the gopis' butter and yogurt. As a boy, I showed anger toward Kaliya and a host of others. In my teenage years, I was lusty to enjoy with the gopis. Therefore, I am impure and contaminated by lust and a host of other vices. Brahma is being tested. Let's see how much you want to enter Braj, Krishna said. Brahma said, that is not true. You are spotless, Niranjana. Your so-called lust and other qualities are all pure and spiritual. Krishna, still, I am dependent on the gopis and many others. Because I need them, therefore I am not perfect and complete. Brahma, you are perfect and complete, Purna. Your being controlled by the prem of your devotees does not negate your perfection and completeness. So all these important philosophical points are being made in between. Krishna, is there someone else like me? Brahma, no one else is like you. You are beyond comparison, Advaya, the one without the second. Krishna, very well then. Because there is no one else like me, I am therefore the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, it seems, according to what you say. Still, many people think I am simply a transformation of transcendental knowledge. Some followers of Sankara and so on. So Brahma concludes saying, you are not a transformation of transcendental knowledge because you are Muktopadita. You are free from all these upadis. Gopal Tapa in Upanishad states, Vidya Vidyabhyam Vina. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond both knowledge and ignorance. This is so because you are beyond all limiting designations. In the Shruti Shastra, it is said, Amritam Sashvatam Brahma. Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal. He is far beyond any limiting designation. In this passage, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes now, in this passage, the word Amrita may also be interpreted to mean he who never dies. Vishwanath Darshani ki jai. So this was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's interesting dynamics, dialogue he presented, and in a way that, again, Krishna, though being in Mukdata, simultaneously he's furthering Brahma's understanding and founding the post and the Aishwarya that he's trying to present, and in such a way that everything is in place so eventually he can further advance into his Brajabhakti process. Project. So we will finish today here, and tomorrow we have one last class in the morning. So Brahma will make it clear in connection to this verse. In next verse, Brahma will make it clear how we can properly understand all of the points made in this verse, all these attributes of Krishna. How can really we gain proper realization of them? And he will speak about how we should hear about this from the lips of Sri Guru, who will be speaking through Shastra, and the result of which will be to transcend samsara to begin with. So all these points will be made tomorrow. So today we'll finish here, unless there are any questions or commentaries, something you may like to share today. Grigupad?
I was thinking about something that Satyanarayan Babaji said, wrote in this one of the last update about the questions.
Uh-huh.
That he had like a number of
the different types of questions, the one we spoke to.
Yeah, like good questions and kind of not so good and bad questions. And if I remember correctly, the first two categories were Svahita questions that are good for you, and Parahita, those that are good for others. There will be some benefits from that question. And I'm thinking now that Brahma is speaking to Krishna here, in his questions, how much is he speaking kind of for his own benefit and how much for others? Because some of the things he's saying, it seems like, kind of course Brahma would know that already from his having met Krishna in the beginning of creation, like that Krishna is deathless. It's kind of a no-brainer in a sense. So how much is he kind of speaking for our benefit, and how much is he kind of expressing his own feeling?
I would say that he's expressing his own feeling, because although he met Krishna in the beginning of creation, in one sense, the Krishna he's speaking now is not exactly the same Krishna he met at the beginning of creation. I remember a few minutes ago, he totally misread Braja Krishna, basically. And he thought this is an imposter and all this stuff, and he did some mischief. So all the things that he's saying now, you are eternal, you are this, you are that, although they apply to the Krishna he saw in the beginning of creation, and he already, we could say, he knew that, but he didn't know that ultimately all those same qualities apply in the ultimate sense to Braja Krishna, as he saw some minutes ago. And when he saw Braja Krishna a few minutes ago, he didn't think, you are eternal, you are this, you are that, but thought, you are an ordinary boy having picnic, and you are appearing in the disguise of my guru. So now he's I would say reaffirming to himself, which is his recent discovery. You know, he had just realized, no, actually you are eternal, because of course, as we know, from that little medium-sized, all-pervading Krishna Praj, unlimited Narayans came, unlimited universes came. So this is new for Brahma. And even if we could say he knew that Krishna is eternal or all-pervading or whatever, but just some minutes ago, he had just such a revelation of Aishwarya that all those same words take a new meaning now for him. Now, he knew Krishna is all-pervading, but he had a certain idea of what's the meaning of that, an insight of what's the meaning of that. But after Krishna showed himself as the source of everything, including Narayan, Brahma updated his understanding of what means all-pervading and what means, by the way, everything else. Like Adya, you are you have no beginning, or you are the beginning of everything, including Narayana. These type of ideas get like upgraded now after the recent revelation. So I will say that everything that Brahma is saying in these prayers are pretty much speaking about what he had just discovered, and how he's kind of expressing that, and also trying to make sense of all the things that he has just seen in the beginning of creation, he has just seen some minutes ago, his attraction to Sakya in the beginning of creation, and now how that attraction to Sakya is expressing in him after having gone through the Vimohan Lila. So I will say the same point. In the beginning he expressed, I would like to relate with you in Sakya, and that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. But what did he understand at that point when he said that? Which notion he had of Sakya? Of course he received some friendly treatment by Krishna, some hand, how do you say? Shaking of hands. So he received some Sakya, some scars there, and said like, whoa, I like this. Let's keep shaking hands forever. But he didn't at that point yet play out the whole implications of what it means, I want Sakya. So after he went through, and so at the beginning of creation he had a glimpse of both Krishna's Aishwarya and Madhurya. No? Okay, yes, Krishna is my guru, the source of everything. He's God, he's all pervading, Aishwarya. And Madhurya, oh, he can be my friend. We are shaking hands. Intimacy. Madhurya mean intimacy in this case. So he had a level of insight with the two of them. But then after Brahma Vimohan Lila, both his insight of Aishwarya and Madhurya started to overflow. Both with Aishwarya, Krishna is the source of Narayan even, and with Madhurya, when he had a further glimpse of what Sakya means and he saw Krishna with his friends. So now, again, after having such a darshan, both his Aishwarya and Madhurya has been maximized, upgraded, and he thought the worst about you from 10 minutes ago, and I'm upgrading both my Aishwarya and Madhurya to such a point, such a contrast, I cannot help but falling at your feet and crying and praying, and while expressing my repentance, also trying to make sense to myself. Mm. What I saw at the beginning of creation, which idea of Aishwarya and Madhurya had at that point, what I've seen just some minutes ago, which upgraded version I have of both Aishwarya and Madhurya, how do I make sense of all of that and explain that to myself so I have proper philosophical foundation to pursue this attraction towards Sakya that keeps increasing in Brahma. It's not that it's withering, it's increasing. His attraction to Sakya is increasing, but his foundation in Aishwarya is increasing as well. So I will say that, yeah, all these prayers are, to begin with, from Brahma to Brahma, just speaking about what he keeps discovering, because every single birth he keeps increasing his insights. And of course, by extension, we are all of us here benefiting from those particular presentations as well. So, pretty comprehensive. That's why it's so important, this section, for all of us. It's not important only for Brahma, because he's the very example of sadhaka and transitioning towards perfection and doing some mischief in between. I mean, we can identify with all that. We are pretty mischievous. We receive some special opportunity in the beginning and we think we understood that, and then we realize, I didn't have a clue what was that about. Now I'm realizing how deep and big that is, and maybe we realize all that after having done some mischief. But we are receiving a second chance, so proper repentance, humility is there, and the prospect starts to expand more now, and the prospect becomes more clear, the horizon becomes more full of hope, and all these purposes are part of this Brahma Stuti. Okay, something else? Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Sadbhuch Gaurangadev ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Brahma Stuti ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda.